Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And do remember that tomorrow we start our two-day membership drive. These are two very significant days in the life of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our mission has always been codified by 1 Timothy 4:16. This is what Paul said to Timothy: watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And that's why we say we do what we do, because life and truth matter. But our vision is to see multiplied millions equipped to communicate what they believe, why they believe what they believe, and in whom they have believed. Our mission and vision is to change the Christian culture from a conversion-oriented mentality to one focused on discipleship, and not only discipleship, but producing, reproducing disciple makers. The goal is to train Christians to think Christianly, to mine the Bible for all its wealth, and to recognize that as participants in the kingdom, we are being called to know the truth and to live as Jesus Christ himself lived. Paul said that very thing. He said, imitate me as I imitate Jesus Christ. I'm going to be talking about this tomorrow, but let me say this as prologue to what's coming. At present, there are two LGBT communities, and these communities are heading towards one another with blinding speed. One community, which is the Christian community, finds its life in God, its LG, life in God, and its BT in biblical truth. The other one is comprised of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender activists. And the question is this: it's no longer who is going to blink first. We have already blinked. The question is, why have we blinked? And the answer is quite frankly shocking. We have been silent on the radical agenda of the LGBTQ community in the interest of preserving our own turf. Let me put it crassly: our own fame and fortune. And make no mistake, the catalyst towards conformity is always, always, always personal acceptance and monetary survival. One speaks out today at the peril of their own platform. And again, this is why we're doing our membership drive. Think about the words of Pastor Martin Niemöller. He was an outspoken critic of Adolf Hitler during the darkest days of Nazi Germany. His words echoed down through the corridor of time. First, they came for the socialists, and I didn't speak out. Why? Because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Niemöller's words, well, they are a sober reminder that we must continue to speak out boldly for life and truth. Each and every one of us is faced with either standing or sitting in the battle for the basic building blocks of civil society. And that is precisely what this membership drive is all about. We are asking for your support so that we continue to speak. Because without your support, our amplification will be muted. Make no mistake, we will continue to speak out, but without the benefit of a microphone. And that's why I'm going to be asking you to call for the next 2 days and talk about the mission and vision of the Christian Research Institute, why it's important to you. I need your encouragement. I need your support. You can call in your testimonies. We want to talk about the mission and vision of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast during our membership drive as we ask you to stand with us as monthly support team members of this ministry. People that give on a regular monthly basis. Again, let me emphasize the fact that we're not talking about some trivial matter here. The very basic building blocks of civil society are being knocked down. The foundation on which they rested has already been battered and broken. It's the foundation of life. We passed that battle. You think about the 56 million or more preborn children that have been aborted since Roe v. Wade. The smoke of those abortions is now wafting over the steeples of American churches. And we have suffered fetus fatigue. We have settled into the fog of complacency. And as yet ever present realities are awaiting us in the very, very near future. Because marriage is the most basic building block of civil societies. And marriage is being redefined. It's not that it might be redefined, it's being redefined. And whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, it matters to you. Because from the standpoint of anthropology, men and women are complementary. They are both needed when it comes to marriage. One cannot replace the other. Both are needed. From the standpoint of biological realities, both are needed. From the standpoint of civil realities, both are needed. And to compromise here puts the most vulnerable among us at risk, children. Now, this is not a purely Christian statement. This is a statement made on the basis of all sociological metrics. Let me say this, a consensus of sociological metrics underscores this reality. And I have anecdotally done my own test, asking Christians, what is the most basic building block of civil society? And with rare exception, people are not able to identify that as marriage. First marriage, then church, then government. So what we're doing at the Christian Research Institute is talking about those things that are essential. And as marriage is essential, so the institution of the church is essential. And the church itself, maybe tomorrow I'll read this on the air, it's shocking, the church itself has capitulated on many fronts when it comes to this issue. And the church has been refashioned in the image of the culture. And now government, the third basic building block, is filling the void of a once vibrant church. It is doing what the church ought to be doing. Again, I'm asking you to support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute for the next 2 days during our membership drive. We'll kick it off tomorrow. You can call in your testimony of how this ministry has changed your life so that others are encouraged to participate with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach, equipping God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened, not blinded by the cultural chaos that has darkened the skies of a once bright future. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to your phone callers. To our phone callers, the number to dial is always 888-ASK. Hank translates to 888-275-4265. First up is Thomas. He's listening in Albuquerque, New Mexico, KKIM. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing this evening?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. My question is regarding 1 Corinthians 6:12, I believe it is. And basically where the Apostle Paul is saying that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. Now, for most of my life, I believe, what seems to be the mainstream thought on that, but I did it with, a lot of reservation because it just didn't make sense to me, which is basically that because we're under grace and no longer under the law, that technically nothing is illegal for us or unlawful. And therefore, we can do what we want to do, but it's just not convenient. Which never made sense to me. And I just want to get your take on it and maybe, if there's time, just share with you what I believe, the deeper understanding that I think God has revealed to me on that topic.
Yeah, well, I think the real sense of what is being said is everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. That's the point. And then Paul gives many examples of why it is not beneficial. So, yes, we are under God's grace, but God's grace compels us not only to transformation, but to be transformational agents within the culture. That's the very thing that I was talking about in the opening to the broadcast.
Okay, and I just, that seems to be more in line with the traditional viewpoint on it. And I think what I understand about it now, and you can tell me what you think, is that really, this idea of expediency is about taking things in context and combining them, and even more than that, for an eternal purpose. So he's not saying, in other words, everything in and of itself, if it's taken at its base element individually, it's lawful, okay? It can't possibly be anything other than that. But when you take it and combine it with something else, it's either going to become sinful or it can be not sinful. And even more than that, it can be expedient toward eternal things. I think that's what he was saying.
Well, I don't know how that would apply to his first example of food and sexual immorality as the second example.
Well, if you take sexual immorality, for example, if you take, all things are lawful, and you take sex in and of itself, it's not sinful, okay? It becomes sinful when you combine it in a way that, for example, sex outside of marriage, sex between two people of the same gender, that's when it becomes sinful, okay? So sex in and of itself, anything in and of itself, is not sinful. But once it's combined, you know, and even in the examples that he gave us, you know, in Corinthians itself, where he basically gave the example of, you know, of our bodies, you know, being, you know, our bodies are for God, for Christ, and Christ is for our bodies. Those are two things that you join together, and then they have an eternal purpose, which is the ideal thing. But you have something like sex, for example, even in the confines of a marriage between a husband and wife, and even though it's not sinful, it is not expedient toward eternal things, because, of course, sexual relations do not exist in eternity. So I think there are a few different principles there, but I don't think it could possibly mean what, you know, mainstream Christianity is saying, and even what you're saying, because it's what you guys are saying. Is
I appreciate your perspective. Yeah. Unfortunately, Michael, or Thomas, we're right up against a station break. We'll be right back.
Some claim that Adolf Hitler was a devout Christian, others that he was an atheist, and still others that he was a practicing occultist. Certainly few want to claim Hitler as their own, but our approach must be that truth matters. What did Hitler really believe? Fortunately, enough data is available to answer this question. Find out in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Was Adolf Hitler a Christian? Start your subscription today when you call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. While some Americans apparently fear climate change as the greatest threat to the planet, more discerning onlookers rightly fear a different type of climate change. From a spiritual and moral climate and culture that long recognized our blessings from God, to one in which the very notion of God is increasingly deemed imaginary. Serious Christians should never downplay the severity of this threat. As Dostoevsky understood, if there is no God, everything is permissible. Even a moment's reflection on the horrors of the 20th century, from Hitler and Stalin to Mao and Pol Pot, confirms beyond doubt that when man rather than God becomes the measure of all things, life becomes precarious indeed. To stand with the Christian Research Institute in resisting the growing assault on biblical truth, call 888-7000-CRI now with your gift and make a difference that matters. 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Charles Darwin knew that the predictions of his theory of gradual evolution were not fulfilled by discoveries in the fossil record, but he hoped that the gaps would be filled over time. Today, the same problems remain unresolved, while formidable new problems confront his theory from advances in genetics. Other topics include heroes or villains, a Christian assessment of hacktivism, being single in Christ, reanimating apologetics with the undead, one taken, the other left, who will be left behind? Is the divorced pastor the husband of one wife? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
Hi, this is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute and host of the Daily Bible Answer Man broadcast. In The Lord of the Rings, Faramir passionately says that he did not love the bright sword for its sharpness, or the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory, but only that which they defend. Like Faramir, my great love and our struggle together for truth is not for the weapons and tools of battle, but for what they defend, our faith, biblical truth, and ultimately our freedoms. Today, as the very notion of biblical truth is under siege, we do well to heed the call to battle, as our future depends on it. To become part of the team committed to turning the tide, simply go to equip.org, and you can become a member of the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. Again, that's equip.org. Equip, EQUIP.org.
While some Americans apparently fear climate change as the greatest threat to the future of our planet, more discerning onlookers rightly fear a different type of climate change. From a spiritual and moral climate and culture that long recognized our blessings from God, to one in which the very notion of God is increasingly deemed imaginary. Serious Christians should never downplay the severity of this threat. As Dostoevsky understood, if there is no God, everything is permissible. To stand with CRI in resisting this rising tide, go online now to equip.org with your gift and make a difference that matters. Equip.org. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Randy, in their statement, Beyond Same-Sex Marriage, more than 300 LGBT and allied scholars and advocates call for legally recognizing sexual relationships involving more than two partners. Think about this. More than 5 years ago, Newsweek reported that the United States already had over 500,000 polyamorous households. Polyamorous simply means many loves. More than 500,000 polyamorous households. And the author of the article concluded, perhaps the practice is more natural than we think. A response to the challenges of monogamous relationships whose shortcomings are clear. Everyone in a relationship wrestles at some point with an eternal question. Can one person really satisfy every need? Polyamorous think the answer is obvious, and that it's only a matter of time before the monogamous world sees that there's more than one way to live in love. Where's all this going? Is it going to be just a push towards father-father and mother-mother couplings? No. If two daddies are good, 10 daddies perhaps are better. If two mommies are good, 5 mommies perhaps are better, or whatever the community decides. Because after all, what are we doing? We're redefining. And a lot of people think this is alarmist rhetoric. It is not. If I would have been talking about where we are today, and I was 5 years ago, it would have been hard to imagine that only 5 years hence, we would be living in that virtual reality. And we are. So we can continue our slumber, or we can awake to a clarion call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Michael in Brentwood, Tennessee, listening on WNAZ. Hi, Michael.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, I had a question concerning the Sabbath. So in Numbers, God condemned the man to death for working on the Sabbath. And then, you know, before that verse, God spoke about, you know, if someone accidentally breaks the rule, you know, they can give a sacrifice, but they intentionally break the rule, you know, that means death. And so right after that, I guess it gives an example, the Bible gives an example of, I guess, someone intentionally breaking that rule. You know, fast forward into the New Testament, Jesus Christ, you know, states that Sabbath was made for the man, not for the Sabbath. And I understand, you know, Christ's death, you know, freed us from the law. But, I mean, did Christ reiterate the original intent of the law?
Well, Christ served the original intent of the law. I mean, Christ was killed. Christ faced death. Christ suffered more than any man. He suffered more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity, so that we may no longer be under the curse of the law. But remember, the Mosaic law was for a particular people at a particular time. That particular people were those who were under the direct rule of God, a theocracy. We no longer live in a theocracy. God sets up civil authorities to govern civil societies. And the church and Christians are to be a leavening force within that structure. And that's why Jesus says, when the salt loses its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled by men. And just to go back to what I have been saying during this broadcast, please never mistake what I'm saying for a we-they siege mentality against the world. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not us against them. The fact of the matter is, the culture will devolve without the leavening force of Christianity. And therefore, the operative voice that I'm communicating is that we need to be that leavening voice. And if we are not, we are to blame. We are those who were silent and passed by a major battle leading to the very crack and crumbling of the foundation of civilization, life itself. And now the building blocks have nothing upon which to rest. So first we take the lives of, or allow the bloodletting of 56 million children since Roe v. Wade, 1973 alone, and that's just America. And now we're redefining marriage, and the church is woefully silent. So again, to answer your question specifically, we're no longer under the direct rule of God, but we are called to be God's agents in a lost and searching world. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Mary in Modesto, California, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Mary. Are you there, Mary? Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Ben. He's listening in Kansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good, thanks. All right, my question has to do with Ulstein and his impact, and you're talking a lot about it here lately. And I guess my question is there some good that comes out of Joel Ulstein and his following? So in other words, I guess my sister-in-law listens to Joel Ulstein, and just a few years ago, I don't think I really could have had a conversation with her about Jesus. And now she is open to it, and she listens to Joel Ulstein quite a bit. So the question is it possible that he might be serving some positive good, or at least God is using it for good, and opening at least the doors for people to be introduced to Jesus? And then it would be our job, you're on the front lines, I guess, and my job as her brother-in-law then to talk to her about the specifics of what he's teaching and what is wrong with it. So I wonder, is it possible that there is good that's coming out of Joel Ulstein and his ministry, and that it's our job to then help out? And I don't know which Bible verse it is, but it keeps coming to mind about when I was a child, I drank milk, and then as I grew up, I moved on. I'm sorry, I'm not...
Yep.
I don't have the reference for it, but if it's an opening for people to have a conversation about Jesus Christ, is there some positive that might be coming from it?
Well, you know what, using the biblical text, this is not milk that people are drinking. This is spiritual cyanide that they're drinking. Because at the end of the day, what Ulstein is doing is inviting people to come to the master's table, not for the love of the master, but rather for what is on the master's table. Now, can something good come out of his message? Absolutely. Can something good come out of a Mormon sermon or the sermon of a Jehovah's Witness or the cold call of a Jehovah's Witness? Certainly. Something good can come out of it. But is the structure or the system one that honors biblical truth or one that undermines biblical truth? And I think that's the ultimate question. And what I have said is that Osteenification, and that's an umbrella term for a lot of people who follow in his train. I simply use his name because he's the biggest of the bunch. But it's nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American Christianity. He's using the Bible to communicate what he wants to communicate, not communicating what the Bible is actually communicating. And this is the thing that ultimately propelled me to write The Osteenification of American Christianity, reading his 6 number one bestsellers and recognizing that he has 1 billion impressions per month on Facebook and Twitter combined. So he's having a dramatic impact on people. But when you look at what he is communicating, he's not communicating what God has said, but rather using the Bible to communicate what Joel Osteen wants to say, which is to say he simply is twisting text after text after text to communicate a gospel of self-affirmations. And there's a darker hue to all of that. I mean, it's easy for us when we're in good shape, when we're healthy, to walk into the front door of an Osteen Revival Center and smile, because what he says comports well with our current situation. But what we do not see, and I've mentioned this many times, is the people who are falling out of the back doors of those conventions, of those, quite frankly, circus acts. They don't know what to believe or who to trust anymore, because what he is communicating works well when you're healthy and when you're wealthy. But when things start to go awry, as inevitably they will, it simply doesn't work. All of a sudden, the smile turns to a sneer. All of a sudden, when you're sick, you start to think, you know what, my problem is not that I live in a cursed creation. My problem is I have made a negative confession, and Osteen is very forward in communicating this, and I'll give him a lot of credit for that. He sneers at those who are paraplegics. He talks about people in his own church who have died at an early age and says that the cause of their death was their own negative affirmations. Got to give him a lot of credit for at least being up front with that message. And even at the very beginning, when man falls into a life of sin, of perpetual sin terminated by death, well, he takes that and turns it around to be a message of positive self-affirmation. It is quite simply breathtaking. So again, to answer your question, can some good come out of it? I suppose, but not if you can continue drinking the Kool-Aid, because if you do, it leads to spiritual and sometimes physical death as well. It's not milk. It's milk that's laced with cyanide, and we ought to set the warning label on the bottle. We'll be right back.
Have you wondered why Christianity is losing ground in our current culture wars? Could it be because we simply have far too many lambs trying to hold their own against secular lions? Clearly, the battle for truth that is raging in America is not for the faint of heart. That's why the Christian Research Institute is now in overdrive, seeking to mobilize every possible resource to strengthen believers in the fight for truth. Consider us old-fashioned, perhaps, but we think there's just something fundamentally unfair about sending lambs out to meet lions. To help Christians do more roaring and less bleating, call the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI to make a gift that makes a difference. 888-7000-CRI. Don't change the station. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back.
Hi, this is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute and host of the daily Bible Answer Man broadcast, reminding you of the words of G.K. Chesterton, who said that the true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him. And I'm not sure I've ever heard a better description of the spirit of the Christian Research Institute's ministry partners than that. We do not see secularists and atheists as enemies, but rather as prisoners of war. If you're serious about making your mark in today's raging battle for truth, don't be content with simply being a weekend warrior. Consider enlisting as a member of the Bible Answer Man monthly support team and know that your stand for truth will be felt by multitudes. So call 888-7000-CRI right now. Again, that's 888-7000-CRI.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Is hacker activism the most heroic use of the internet? Liberating data, exposing lies, speaking truth to power? Or is it the most corrupting side of cyberspace? Stealing data, telling secrets, and endangering citizens? Although hacktivism has received much media attention, it has received little moral scrutiny. Other topics include Darwin's doubt and the case for intelligent design, the Ten Commandments of apologetics, was Hitler a Christian, same-sex marriage and today's church, is it silly to believe in Noah's flood, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Have you ever wondered why Christianity is losing ground in our current culture wars? Could it be we simply have far too many lambs trying to hold their own against secular lions? Clearly, the battle for truth that is raging in America is not for the faint of heart. That's why the Christian Research Institute is in overdrive, seeking to mobilize every possible resource to strengthen believers in the fight for truth. Consider us old-fashioned, perhaps, but there's just something fundamentally unfair and not terribly bright about sending lambs out to meet lions. To help Christians do more roaring and less bleeding, call the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI to make a gift that matters. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. You're standing shoulder to shoulder with CRI in arming hundreds of thousands of Christians to fight the good fight. Charles Darwin knew that the predictions of his theory of gradual evolution were not fulfilled by discoveries in the fossil record, but he hoped that the gaps would be filled over time. Today, the same problems remain unresolved, while formidable new problems confront his theory from advances in genetics. As even atheist Richard Dawkins acknowledges, the machine code of the genes is uncannily computer-like. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal reveals Darwin's doubt and the case for intelligent design. Start your subscription today when you call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy, with a reminder again that tomorrow we start our membership drive. It is the Shoulder to Shoulder, Standing Shoulder to Shoulder in the Battle for Life and Truth campaign, 2 days in which we talk about the ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, including the Bible Answer Man broadcast, can ask you to join the monthly support team as those that support this ministry prayerfully and financially every month. And for those of you that join for the next couple of days, as always, we will be willing or just delighted, gratefully. In fact, I will personalize one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. Again, all of that starting tomorrow on our Shoulder to Shoulder, Standing Together in the Battle for Life and Truth campaign. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Mary in Modesto, California, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Hank. How are you
doing
today?
Well, thank you.
Well, God bless you very much for being there, Hank. And I must say, you're doing something right because the persecution is coming.
Hmm.
And that comes when we stand in truth for the Lord and walk with Him. I listen to you every day and stand with you. And a couple months ago, I joined as an automatic donor every month to give as much as I can to help out with the cause and to stand for truth in the Word. I wanted to say a word about, I go to the walk in San Francisco for Life every year. It's in January. And it's amazing that that has become so diluted. It's all denominations, all different people go, and it's just a big party, really. It's not very much focused on the killing and murdering of our children before they're born. And all the people that spoke that I heard that day even were saying that isn't it sad that babies die every day through abortion? And the Holy Spirit came up in me and said they need to be corrected. They are murdered by their own parents every day. And nobody is looking, even the church is looking at the horrific effect that this is happening, and it's actually infanticide. And when did that happen? It happened in the Bible a few times, as I recall. And so how can we ever go on and do anything for the Lord in His Spirit as we are murdering our unborn children, Hank? I don't understand.
Well, you're articulating it aptly. I mean, this is the foundation of all of society. The foundation is life. And unfortunately, when the foundation crumbles, everything else is going to crumble with it. But now we are taking on in our culture the most basic of all building blocks that should be resting on that foundation. And that basic building block is marriage. And just as we passed in the battle for life, it seems like we're apathetic in the battle for marriage. And as I said at the opening of the broadcast, very few people are even aware that this is the basic building block of human civilization. And you know what's interesting about this, Mary, is the same are at risk, the most vulnerable among us. The preborn child that you mentioned, but not only the preborn child, now children are at risk, because the moment that marriage is redefined as it has been in our culture, they are the ones that ultimately will bear the brunt.
Well, yes, Hank, I agree, because if we don't care about our babies, which are the number one gift from our Lord, how are we going to care about anything else? And I'll tell you, I see down the line pretty soon, what's going to stop somebody to say, I want to marry my horse. I love my horse. I'm going to marry my horse or my, you know, whatever. Once you take that step over, there's no going back, and it's a very dark slope after that. So I'm very concerned. But to see so many people of faith that are there walking for life and just having a party, and not, they were shocked by my T-shirt that says 53 million babies have been murdered, and there's blood splattered all over my shirt, and I'm carrying a sign that's showing an aborted baby. These people are shocked to see such a thing. So I don't know why they're there and what they're walking for when people need to be shocked to hear the truth of it.
We've become apathetic. I deeply appreciate your passion, and thank you for your support as well, Mary.
Thank you for being there. God bless you.
God bless you. I want to quote Ryan Anderson. He said this. I read this just this weekend. He said, marriage is a uniquely comprehensive union. It involves a union of hearts and minds, but also, and distinctively, a bodily union made possible by sexual complementarity. As the act by which a husband and wife make marital love also makes new life, so marriage itself is inherently extended and enriched by family life and calls for an all-encompassing commitment that is permanent and exclusive. In short, marriage unites a man and a woman holistically, emotionally and bodily, in acts of conjugal love, and in the children such love brings forth for the whole of life. At its base, fathers will challenge children in developmentally vital ways that mothers simply will not, in fact, cannot. And the same is true vice versa. And that's why the complementary aspect of male and female can never be subjugated. And when it is, there's hell to pay by the most vulnerable among us, again, children. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Tim in Charlotte, North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is regarding what happens to the soul when it dies. Is there a delay in the soul going to heaven, or does the soul go to heaven immediately?
Well, what Paul explains in this regard is absent from the body, present with the Lord. So the moment that one dies physically, the soul is with the Lord, and that is not a locational statement as though we have to travel somewhere, but it is a relational statement. Souls are non-physical. So we're saying that that soul is in relationship with the Lord, as was the case with Lazarus, who died, and Jesus says the angels carried him, using the metaphorical language, beautiful, poignant, and profound language of the Bible, carried him to Abraham's bosom, or paradise, a way of talking about that person being in the presence of God. So that's what happens at death, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Okay, and there's some references that Paul makes to the body going to sleep.
Yeah.
And so what does he mean by that?
Sleep is a metaphor for death. So while the Bible uses the metaphor of sleep for death, it never uses the metaphor of sleep for the soul. So there's nothing in Scripture that points towards the notion that the soul will sleep, only that the body will sleep. And again, that's a metaphor for death. And what happens when Jesus appears a second time is that that body is raised. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that the body is raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And at that point, the soul returns to the body. And this is the beauty of a woman giving birth. And it's the horror of abortion. Because when a woman gives birth, she doesn't just give birth to a body. So what is aborted is not only a body. What's aborted is a body-soul unity. And the same thing could be said at death. What happens at death is the unnatural rending of the body and the soul. And at resurrection, it is the uniting of the body and the soul. Or another way of talking about that is the uniting of the physical and the non-physical aspects of humanity, because many Christians hold to the notion that we are body, soul, spirit unities. But the basic idea in any case is that the physical and the non-physical aspect of our humanity is once again reunited.
Okay. Well, Hank, thanks very much.
You're welcome. I wrote about this in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Rosemary next in Atwater, California, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. And I quite don't know how to put my question. It's really difficult for me to put it into words. But in essence, what I'm concerned about and thinking about is when about our food that we eat that is filled with processed things and pesticides and all that stuff that they spray on our food, that it's very unhealthy for you to eat. So my question was, will saying grace over your food benefit you? Will see, that's why I don't know how to phrase that. How?
Yeah.
What happened? Will God honor your prayer and make the food whole like he intended it to be?
Well, you know, Rosemary, if you bite into a bar of soap, you're still going to have bubbles coming out of your mouth. And if you eat food that is bad for you, the food is still going to be bad for you, and therefore we have to make good choices in terms of the food that we eat. When we say grace, what we're doing is we're thanking God for all that He gives to us, but we're not presupposing that we don't live in a cursed world or that we don't have to make proper choices. We do. If we eat too much food, we suffer from obesity. If we drink too much wine, the metaphysical aspect of our humanity becomes intoxicated, and we do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do. So we have to be stewards of both the physical and the metaphysical aspects of our humanity. But to say grace is a matter of recognizing that God provides all things for us, and we can, in the process, ask God to spare us from harm. But, you know, here's the thing about it, Rosemary. We can never presume that Christianity gives us some kind of a magic bullet whereby we don't suffer the maladies of a cursed creation, whether it's the food we eat or the things we suffer. It doesn't. What it ultimately does is points us to a time in which there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So in the meantime, we're going to struggle. And even in our struggles, we say, thank you, Lord, or we give grace, as it were. Why? Because we know that God works all things together for good to those who love Him and are the called according to His purposes. So we say grace for a lot of reasons, including the fact that we're told to say grace. We're told to eat with thanksgiving because everything ultimately comes from the hand of God, and we will inevitably return to the hand of God. I want to mention once again that the next 2 days are vital days as we embark upon a shoulder-to-shoulder campaign, standing together in the battle for life and truth. It's, quite frankly, to put it in simple terms, a membership drive where we're asking people to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. I hope many of you will sign up in the next couple of days. Look forward to those very invigorating days coming up soon, tomorrow.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. While some Americans apparently fear climate change as the greatest threat to the planet, more discerning onlookers rightly fear a different type of climate change. From a spiritual and moral climate and culture that long recognized our blessings from God, to one in which the very notion of God is increasingly deemed imaginary. Serious Christians should never downplay the severity of this threat. As Dostoevsky understood, if there is no God, everything is permissible. Even a moment's reflection on the horrors of the 20th century, from Hitler and Stalin to Mao and Pol Pot, confirms beyond doubt that when man rather than God becomes the measure of all things, life becomes precarious indeed. To stand with the Christian Research Institute in resisting the growing assault on biblical truth, call 888-7000-CRI now with your gift and make a difference that matters. 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Charles Darwin knew that the predictions of his theory of gradual evolution were not fulfilled by discoveries in the fossil record, but he hoped that the gaps would be filled over time. Today, the same problems remain unresolved, while formidable new problems confront his theory from advances in genetics. Other topics include heroes or villains, a Christian assessment of hacktivism, being single in Christ, reanimating apologetics with the undead, one taken, the other left, who will be left behind, is the divorced pastor the husband of one wife, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.